Good morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of praise, honor, and glory. Open your Bibles, if you will, to John in chapter 7. Sure is good to be here. I thank God for the opportunity to preach the gospel. I've had that opportunity for somewhere around 32 years. Had an opportunity to preach the gospel right here in San Antonio, Mexico, Poland, quite a few states in the United States, and a few countries in Europe. In Eastern Europe, thank God for that. I think I speak on behalf of all of the missionaries that we are eternally grateful for all of you, for all of your kindness, for all of your hospitality, for your prayers, for your financial support, for showing up to listen to us preach, for your sacrifices, for the good food, and just for being you. As Michael said, you're God's gift to us, just as we're God's gift to you. So I was thinking as Nelda was speaking, she's such a lady. She didn't tell us her age, but she did give us a clue when she said that she's 9 years old in 1940. Some of you, if you need a calculator, you could figure that out. And I also thought about when she said she remembered that when she was 9 years old, she began singing in a choir. Well, Nelda, I remember when I was 9 years old, they kicked me out of the choir. I should have learned early that my gift is not singing. I went back, I guess it was a year and a half ago that my father went to be with the Lord. I went back and had some real good fellowship with him before he took the exit out of this world. And he told me that when I was a young man, before I was even saved, in high school, they take these tests to find out what type of career you're most likely to be. And he told me that my test score came back and said that I was going to be a preacher of the gospel. Who would have known? Who would have known? Some of you might have a question, what in the world is the big hoorah? I mean, why do we set apart a week of time to come and talk about missions? Well, we think, first of all, we're recruiting. That's why, you know, we're recruiters, we're looking for more volunteers. When I was in college, they had recruiting days where they came out and different employers came out looking to hire people. Well, we're looking for volunteers. Second of all, we're here because we're ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're just gathered here to tell you that we got good news to tell people. We got the greatest job on earth. We have the privilege of going around the world and tell people that God is interested in making reconciliation. That's a tremendous blessing. And I thank God that I get to preach good news. The more I read the Bible and the longer that I'm saved, I thank God for the gift that He gave me. I thank God for the calling that He gave me. I thank God that I'm not an Old Testament prophet and I gotta go into town and preach just damnation. I thank God I get to preach the gospel, good news, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like me and you, and that if we believe on Him, we could be saved from eternal hell. Amen. That's what all the hoorah is about. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it might be all religion to you. But if you ever get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll understand what we're talking about. Look at our text here in John in chapter 7 and verse 12. He says, "And there was much murmuring among the people concerning Him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but He deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews." God bless this message. Have mercy. You know, my message this morning is, no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews. Who are they talking about? No man spake openly of Him. They're talking about Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've made a decision about Him one way or the other. And isn't it interesting that when we bring up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always murmurings on both sides of the fence? Do you know this morning, you are going to have to make a decision about Jesus Christ one way or the other, just like these people did. You're either going to say He was a good man, or you're going to say He deceived the people. And I would like to challenge you this morning to think about that decision and then make it. For those of you that have been maybe fighting God or resisting God, or maybe you're not quite sure, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is He? The pilot said one time, he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let Him be crucified." That was the wrong answer. That was the wrong answer, because if the Bible is true, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, And that means one day you're going to face Him again. There is a judgment, there is a resurrection, and you're going to face Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, but He's going to come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're going to face Him as King, and you're going to face Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I think it's just a mistake to wish that Jesus Christ were crucified. I think it's a mistake to say that Jesus Christ deceived the people. But if you're really convinced that Jesus Christ is a deceiver, then stand up and make yourself known. If you're really convinced that, you know, that this is all a fable and there is no God and I don't believe, then stand up and make yourself known. But you're afraid, aren't you? You're afraid to do that. Now, how many here this morning would say, no, I know that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
I know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
Amen.
I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross because He died on the cross for me. I know that.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to say to you? Stand up and let it be known.
Amen.
But you know, the real tragedy is we got the same problem as the other side does. We're afraid. We're afraid. Do you know how much fear controls our lives? Did you know that these Jews were also afraid? The people were afraid of the Jews, but these same Jews were afraid. You go on and read the Gospels, you're going to find out many times that they wanted to take Jesus, but they were afraid of the people. You know, many times in the Bible, God tells His prophets and His preachers and His ambassadors, be not afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of people. I think God gave me a definite gift of not being afraid of people's faces. You know why? I can't see your faces. You know, if I take these glasses off, I can't even see your noses. There's nothing to be afraid of. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I don't understand people that profess to believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, that believe He died on the cross and rose again the third day, and then they're afraid to tell somebody about it. I just don't understand that. Because the first day that I got saved, the very first day, well, I got saved at night, but the very first morning after I got saved, I wanted to tell people about it. I was so excited. I was so excited that a guy like me that had violated every law of God, that had not loved God with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul, that hadn't been a good little boy at church. In fact, he hardly ever went to church. Who was guilty by religious standards and had no reason that God should allow him to heaven. When I found out that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like me, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I called upon Him and God heard my prayer and saved me, I wanted to tell people about Him. And I really thought at the beginning everybody would get excited about it. When I told them that Jesus died on the cross, boy, I found out, you know, not everybody's happy about that. And sometimes that makes people mad. Made my dad mad for 32 years. Well, longer than that, because he was mad way before I got saved. He was already mad. But one day, the grace of God showed down in his heart and saved his soul. People are afraid. And you know what? If you're not afraid, you're either bold or presumptuous. Did you know that? You're going to be afraid of something. Either that, if you stood up this morning and said, no, Brent, I'm not afraid. You know what I'd say? I'd say you're afraid of letting people know that you're afraid. Yeah, that's right. You don't want anybody to know that you're afraid and you're trying to cover it up because everybody's afraid of something. Peter Ruckman said, real education is learning to be afraid at the right time. The wise man is simply the man who knows when to be afraid and when not to be afraid. You better watch out for the young man that has an automobile and he's not afraid because you're going to get run over. You better watch out for people that are not afraid of God. You better watch out for a nation that's not afraid of God. Somebody says, I'm not afraid of hell. They just lack some knowledge. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 27. He says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. I had a guy come up and tell me one time, I don't believe in hell. I think hell is here on earth. I don't know why he didn't think that was a contradiction in his belief system. I don't believe in hell. It's right here on earth. Hell is right here on earth. I don't know if he ever figured that out, but you know what you have to tell people like that? You're mistaken on three counts. Count number one. I know that hell is not here. There is a hell, by the way, and it's not on earth. Why? Because the gospel is not preached in hell, and I'm preaching the gospel right now. Number two, hell is not on earth because there are no Christians in hell. And wasn't it you that says God wouldn't send his children to hell? And number three, just east of here, San Antonio, Texas, about 150 miles, is about 900 million gallons of water or more, and there's no water in hell. If you ever got a real look at the coming judgment of God, you'd learn to be afraid of God more than you'd be afraid of men. But what are people afraid of, and what is fear? Fear is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence of danger, real or imagined. Can you be afraid of something you shouldn't be afraid of? Yeah. You know I'm afraid of heights? You ask Mike Jackson. I got a contract. Anytime I work with Mike Jackson, I don't go over 8 feet. And then I have to have a safety line, and there better be a big floor that I can walk. I don't know that I was always afraid of heights, but I remember being afraid the first time when I went down to Mexico with Bill Kincaid. Took us down to Mexico City, and we went up some big old skyscraper. I don't know that we were supposed to be there, but we got on some staircases, and we walked right up on the top of that building. Wow, what a sight. Bill, that guy doesn't know fear, man. He just walks right over to the edge. And, you know, they don't have fences around this thing. This is a helicopter port. Just walks over, you know, he's just looking over, and I'm thinking, what are you? I'm sort of crawling over there. You know? He said, come on over here, look at this. I said, no, I ain't going over there. Then Mike Jackson, you know, Michael said, he only hires the dumb and the young that can run. That's kind of embarrassing because he hired me. He found out I can't run on two inches of top plate over 8 feet high. It ain't going to happen, bud. So he put me down there cutting wood. But you know, people are afraid. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of rats and mice. We have anybody in this room that's afraid of mice? You know, these ladies, they really crack me up about being afraid of mice. And they jump right up on a chair. Did you know mice can climb up on chairs? You didn't know that, but they can. Oh, honey, you gotta come in here and kill that mouse. And so the man comes in there, you know, and he kills the mouse and, is it dead? Yeah, it's dead. Oh, thank God I could come off. They get down off the chair. You know, you're afraid to tell them that God made them male and female. We only killed one of them. There's bound to be another one around there. Have you ever seen anybody that's been afraid? We were coming back from Mexico one time. It was late. We shouldn't have been driving. It was darker and dark. But, you know, when you're coming back to Mexico, the only thing you're thinking of is, well, it depends on who you are. If you're me, you're thinking of Wendy's hamburgers. This is way back before they had that kind of stuff down in Mexico. Things have changed since NAFTA. But, man, you're driving all day long, you're thinking Wendy's hamburger. Now, if you're Bill, you're thinking, Whataburger. Whataburger. If you're somebody else, you're thinking of something else. But everybody had their own idea, you know, what they wanted. Boy, we got up to the border and the border's closed. You can't go through this gate. You got to go to another gate. And we're thinking, you know, they're going to be closed. It's going to be 1 o'clock. And so we're driving around Laredo, Texas, trying to find any burger. You know, any burger. It doesn't matter. We just want a burger. Any burger. And we're driving in parts of Laredo. You don't want to be driving, not even at daytime. But we're driving. It's pitch blackout. Of course, we're following each other in a caravan, and Bill stopped up there at the red light, and I just couldn't resist. I'm behind it, and I jumped out of the car, and I went up to the side of the window that Debbie's at, and I went, whoa! Did you know you can jump out of a seatbelt? I don't know why they say them seatbelts save lives, because she jumped right out of that thing. Have you ever seen anybody afraid? Yeah, I have. Just before I got married, I was trying to date Janice, and her cousin, I think it was, took me right over here by Jim's at Halloween time, and they had one of them haunted houses. I don't know why they let me in that place, but they took me in there. I was chasing Janice, that's why I went in. But I went in, and it's pitch black in there. Do you ever notice you get scared at night? I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but it's always at nighttime you get scared, it seems like. But I went in there, you know, and you had to go up some stairs, and I forget the, what was that girl's name? Janice, your cousin? Linda? Oh, Linda Kincaid was there. If she was here to this morning, she would be laughing her heart out right now. But anyway, that Linda, Janice's cousin Linda tripped in the dark. And I didn't know that. I'm just following along, you know, she's trying to get up and she grabbed my leg. You know, the more I stomped, the more she grabbed, the more she grabbed, the more I stomped. What's going on? The boogeyman's getting me, man. I'm going to get them. I didn't think I believed in ghosts, but I believed in ghosts that night. You know, we have to be honest. I think we're all a little bit afraid, aren't we? You get 200 Mexican people crying, kill the gringo, and you get a little bit of fear in your bones, especially when you're the gringo. You know, Lone Ranger and Tonto were going through Indian country one time, and way up on the one side were all these Indians on the side of the mountain range on the side, and looked over the right, and all these Indians over there, and then in front of them, all these Indians, and Lone Ranger looked behind and said, more Indians back there. He said, Tonto, what are we going to do? Tonto said, what do you mean, we, pale face? Yeah. You know, we're afraid of a lot of things. We're afraid of our shadows. We're afraid of fire. You know, they got a fear called phobia. You're afraid of being afraid. I didn't know this, but the word phobia is a Greek word for fear or terror. They got all sorts of phobias. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders, batophobia, fear of being near skyscrapers. Did you know if you're fat and you stand next to a real big building, you look skinny? You just ought to try that sometime, but you know, people are afraid of buildings like that. They can't do that. They even got a cryophobia. You know what a cryophobia is? We don't have any of them in Poland because that's fear of cold. Autophobia. Teratophobia. That's me. Fear of monsters. I got to make a confession. I turned 47 years old, 48, last Sunday. When I'm getting ready for bed at night and, you know, I get my socks off and then it's time for bed, I jump right into bed. You know why? I still think there's a monster underneath there. I drive Janice crazy. What are you doing? You know, because I just jumped in, you know. You know, the rule is if you get your covers over, he can't get you. I don't know why that is, but if you get them covers, you know, monsters can go through covers. In Polish, we say, strach ma wielkie oczy, which means fear has big eyes. That is, we imagine things that aren't really there. You know, when you were young, and maybe some of you are like me, you're still afraid, you know, of monsters. You call out to your mother in the middle of the night, she comes and turns on the light, and then everything's okay. There wasn't nothing there. It was just a shadow in the wall shaking. But people are afraid. I remember in preaching the gospel, some people say we're very bold, and you know, I think that the Spirit of God comes upon us because, you know, we just somehow miraculously get through these situations, but I've gone home just afterwards and start thinking about it, you know, what, you know, and the hard part is the next day. It's not what you go through, but it's the next day you got to go back in the same spot and preach again. That's when you got some real battles with fear. But I remember preaching in downtown Warsaw one time, and let me tell you a secret, folks. The fact is, the big burly guys with the tattoos and the beards and they look real ugly, they're not the ones to be afraid of. They're just big old teddy bears. You gotta watch out for them little old ladies that walk on crutches, man. Cause they'll get you every time, man. They'll get you. You ask these missionaries who stoned them the most, and 9 times out of 10, it was a little old lady. So I'm down in Warsaw and I'm preaching away, and out of the corner of my eye, I seen this lady reach into her bag and pull something out, and she had it in her hand like this, and she's coming at me. I just knew I was going to get mace in the face. And when I ducked down and I'm trying to preach, and she had a little crucifix. Ah, he's got a demon. Now she's chasing me around with this thing, you know. I got a secret for you, man. Them little crucifix, they don't kill vampires, but they do a work on a preacher, man. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, you know, I'm telling these stories with him. Isn't that kind of silly? You know, you're afraid a little old lady, she's got a little cross. But isn't it kind of silly that we don't speak openly of Jesus Christ because of the fear of the Jews? When they're trembling in their boots themselves. We went down to Mexico. Same thing happened in Mexico. Same thing happened in Poland. I don't know why we don't learn our lessons. But when we first went down to Mexico, riding the bus to the language school, and I told Janice, I know them people are talking about me. You know, because they're over there just jabbering in Spanish, and they're pointing at us, and, you know, and they're jabbering some more, and they're laughing. You just know they're talking about you until you learn Spanish and get on the same bus, and, you know, they're talking about their mother-in-law. Sometimes our fears are just imagined. And what I found in preaching the gospel, that people are more afraid of us than we're afraid of them. You know what's amazing? You know what you want? You want to make a big burly guy tremble? Open a Bible in front of him. His knees will just start shaking. He says, I gotta go. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? All right. I want to help you this morning. I want to tell you, first of all, that people are afraid because of sin. That's why people are afraid. In Proverbs 20:1 in the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There's just something about being in the right that helps you overcome fear. Now, I've been riding around with some of you, and I noticed something that when you see the police officers, man, all of a sudden, I'm jerking forward. Why? Because you're afraid that you weren't exactly obeying the law, right? But if you had been driving 55 miles an hour or whatever the speed limit, there wouldn't have been any jerking. Or at least if you had been in a habit of following the speed limit, there wouldn't be a jerking. We're afraid because we're doing something wrong. Isn't that right? Every sinner wants to hide their sin. In Genesis, it said, the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. He wasn't afraid yesterday. He heard the same voice the day before. He had had a conversation with God, didn't he? He said, but now he's afraid. What happened in between the times? I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Sin will make you afraid. It will make you afraid of the wrong person. I'd like to say that we're afraid because we don't have the experience or the confidence. I remember when I was a young man, my kids want to take me out to Fiesta, Texas and scare the living daylights out of me is what they want to do. They want to take me up on one of them big monster rides where they take you. I told you I'm afraid of heights and they want me to get me up there. I don't mind going up. I just don't want to go up and sit and wait and wait and wait and then boom, then they're dropping. I don't want to be doing that. But when I was a kid, we went to a little park and I noticed they got the rides get bigger and meaner and faster every year. But when I was a kid, we went to Cedar Point up in Ohio. I think Mike might know about it. And they had a big monster blue steak roller coaster. That was the scariest ride anybody had ever ridden. I went back there to that ride a few years ago, and you know what? That hill wasn't even the entrance ramp on the new roller coasters they got going. What was the difference? I wasn't afraid of that ride at all. Just experience. It says in 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. You know what David had when he went in to fight Goliath, when everybody else was afraid? He had something they didn't have. He had an experience with the Lord. He had already fought a bear and a lion and he knew the Lord was able to deliver him. And so he had some experience with the Lord and knew the Lord was going to take care of him. So when he went down to face Goliath, he wasn't afraid. Experience will conquer fear. You know, you look underneath the bed enough times and you call your mother enough times, you're going to figure out there's not really a monster underneath there. Experience. I'd like to say this morning that people are afraid because they lack the facts. You're afraid because the unknown. You just don't know. You know, once you grow older, you know there's no green monsters running around. At least you should. Look in 2 Kings in chapter 6, we find a story. The king of Syria is looking for Elijah. Just to show you how these guys are afraid. This guy is looking for one man and he's got a whole army out there looking for him. I'm telling you, this world is more afraid than the man of God, than the man of God is afraid of the world. I don't know why it is that we're afraid to speak openly of Jesus Christ because of the fear of the Jews when the Jews are afraid of us. Look what this says in 2 Kings 6, pick it up about verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Amen.
And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Right. Now, here's two men looking at the same army. Two men, same place, same bat time, same bat channel. They were right there. They're looking at the same thing. One's afraid and one's not. You know what the difference is? One of them had all the facts and the other one didn't. One of them had the light of God's word on the situation, and it cast out all the shadows and all the darkness, and there was no reason to be afraid. And as long as you don't know the facts, and that's why you're encouraged to read the word of God, because you've got to get God's perspective in what's really going on. Isn't it comforting when your daddy comes in and says, son, there's no monster underneath that bed. How do you know? I looked. There's no monster in the closet. There's no monster. All right, Daddy, I believe it. But leave the light on, would you? Leave the light on. People are afraid because they lack the facts. I'd like to say that people are afraid because they lack faith. Look over in Matthew chapter 14. You know the story about verse 25. And in the fourth watch, the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, you were making fun of me that I'm afraid, right? Well, these apostles were afraid too. And they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Isn't that the counsel of the Lord? Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this story, but it is very interesting. That when they first saw Jesus, they didn't have all the facts. They didn't quite understand who it was. And they were afraid and they were cowering. And nobody in that boat had any inkling that somebody was going to get out of it and walk on water. But when one of them got a vision and got an understanding that it was Jesus Christ that was walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come, because I'm coming to you. And that act of faith and that act of understanding of knowledge of who it is that Jesus Christ is bidding, he said, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go where no man has gone before. I'm going to go out there where Jesus is walking on the water. And he did. He did. Did you get that? He did walk on water. We had a young couple, I say young, they were middle-aged, come to Poland as missionaries. They'd been on the deputation for about 4 years, I guess, and they finally got to Poland. They were afraid. They were afraid of everything. They just could not function. They would not let their kids out of the apartment. They would just hardly ride the bus. I mean, they were just afraid for 3 solid months. They were afraid. And finally, he says, I'm gonna quit. And he was a little bit afraid to go back, you know, and face everybody that here he washed out in 3 months. And I said, you know what? You got nothing to be ashamed of because you did walk on water. I mean, you did do something. You got at least this far, didn't you? So you go back, you hold your head up, and you go back to where you feel comfortable and preach the gospel there because you did walk on water. And if anybody laughs at you about sinking, you tell them the story of Peter, because you can say that, hey, I made it that far. Thank God for people that try. But you know what Peter's problem was? After he got out there, after he began that walk of faith, he went back to sight, didn't he? It says when he saw the waves, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he saw the problems, that they were boisterous and it looked difficult, and immediately sank. And Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith. Isn't that our problem? What is this mission conference all about? It's about encouraging each and every one of you to speak openly of Jesus Christ. You know, if everyone in this room, if we would just take every person in this room that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and take away that fear so that you could speak openly of Him wherever you're at, whether it's on the job, whether it's at HEBs, whether it's at the library, whether it's going to school, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether it's down there at the daycare center, wherever it might be, if you would speak openly of Jesus, we'd cover this world with the gospel. People are afraid because they lack faith. They lack experience. They have some type of sin in their life. You know, we could do a lot of things if people just have a little faith when it comes to giving. We could get the gospel out in Poland and the places that the street preachers can't get to. Because for, like I said the other night, for $75 you can put up the gospel on a sign on the metro that hundreds if not thousands of people read every day. But there are some people that don't have enough faith to give even $75. I knew a couple one time that they were making around $4,000 a month and they gave $50 a month. And you know what? They thought they was giving above and beyond what they were supposed to. And then I whispered in her ear and I said, you know, the goal was 10%, not 1%. If you need a calculator, you can figure that out again. Did you know 10% of 4,000 is 400, not 50? I'm giving $10 more than I'm supposed to be giving, you know? But you know why people don't give? Come on now, I just preached 70, 85% of my sermon. Do you know why people don't give? They're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid that God Almighty is not able to take care of you. That's what Michael was preaching on this morning. Look over in Matthew in chapter 6. He says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto, in other words, the things that you need, in case you didn't catch that. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient on the day is the evil thereof. As preachers, as elders, as pastors, sometimes we get concerned, are the expenses going to be met? And sometimes the Lord has to rebuke us and say, oh, you have little faith. Yeah. Did you know that you as Americans are tremendously blessed? You know, I know some of you, you got a garage that will fit 2.5 cars. I don't know anybody that drives a half a car, but you got a garage that's 2.5 cars. And you can't park any of your 3 cars in it. Did you catch that? You got 3 cars and you can't park any of them in your garage. Why? Because you got junk in there that you haven't seen in ages.